get into this next episode of Home on the Res, I want you to take a deep breath. In and out. This episode is going to be about the importance of breathing clean air. Did you know that First Nations and Inuit kids have way more respiratory problems than kids who live off reserve? And if you have lung infections when you're young, you're more likely to have problems with your breathing throughout your life.
So this is a really important issue for our health today and in the future. And it's a perfect topic for Home on the Res.
You bet. We reached out to three people who are working to improve air quality. One is an expert on children and breathing. The others are working in their communities to solve the problem with heat recovery ventilation, HRV. With an HRV system, you can heat the fresh, cold outdoor air with the stale, warm indoor air.
Very cool. Who are we going to hear from first?
We're going to start with Dr. Thomas Covesi, a pediatric respirologist and professor at the University of Ottawa. Dr. Covesi is looking into the connection between indoor air quality and lung disease in Aboriginal kids. It's good to talk with you, Dr. Covesi. To start off, can you tell me what your research has found?
There's a respiratory infection called bronchiolitis, which is a viral infection of the very tiny airways, which causes wheezing and trouble breathing in babies. And in Canada, most cases of bronchiolitis are caused by a virus called RSV, and we get like a little mini epidemic of RSV in every city in Canada every winter. And in Regina or in Ottawa, out of every 1,000 babies born each year, about 10 will get hospitalized with RSV bronchiolitis. This year in Nunavut, roughly 200 out of every 1,000 babies born will get hospitalized with bronchiolitis. And in First Nations communities, like the Sioux Lookout Zone north of Thunder Bay, roughly 40 babies out of every 1,000 babies born we hospitalize. So these rates are extraordinarily high. My research really focuses on the potential contribution of indoor air quality. In Nunavut, we showed that the majority of houses in multiple communities don't meet Canadian standards for indoor ventilation. One of our studies showed that installing HRVs in the houses of young Inuit children significantly improved ventilation and reduced the likelihood that those kids got sick. In Nunavut, round about the time we started doing our HRV study, the government of Nunavut changed their housing policy, and all new housing in Nunavut has an HRV installed. It means that older houses aren't having HRVs retrofitted into the houses, but all new housing in Nunavut now has an HRV. Our sense is that houses in some ways are more complicated in Northern Ontario, because once you're in Nunavut, you're above the tree line, and all the houses either have electric heaters or furnaces. In Northern Ontario, houses have wood stoves, and the natural air exchange in the house with a wood stove is much more complicated, and we probably need some really smart engineers working on how to get an HRV to communicate optimally with a wood stove. For First Nations communities, certainly from Northern Ontario, we found that probably a majority of the houses have HRVs. But servicing and maintenance becomes a very large issue. One of the things which makes this much more complicated is that houses everywhere in Canada are being built much more airtight than they used to be to save energy, obviously. And if you have a really airtight house, the only way to really have good ventilation during the wintertime is with an HRV.
If your house doesn't have an HRV, are there other things we can do to make sure our kids are breathing clean air?
There's lots of things that people can do. One really important piece is if you smoke, to smoke outside. A second important piece is dealing with the mold. One of the things that we find, especially in Northern Ontario, but also Nunavut, is if the house is poorly maintained, dampness is going to come in, and it provides a source that allows the mold to grow. A third important piece is if you have a wood stove, good wood burning practices are really important. So making sure the wood is seasoned, ensuring that the wood is fully dry is important. Not burning garbage, that's going to create all sorts of toxic chemicals in the smoke, is also a really important piece to this.
Is there a difference between children and adults when it comes to air quality?
Children breathe more air in per minute than adults do, especially if they're active. So whatever contaminants you have in the air becomes more of an issue for children anyways.
Is your research going to have impacts on First Nations communities?
I certainly hope so. I mean, that's really why we're doing the research. I think there's really three elements. We need to know what are the rates of respiratory problems in First Nations kids. And I think we're starting to get a much better handle on that. The second step is seeing what exactly are the problems with First Nations housing, and then directing government to be aware of these problems and deal with them. But another piece that we're really getting a handle on with this research is the importance of maintaining existing housing, developing for each community a plan to maintain HRVs. So the HRVs are inspected regularly, making sure either someone from the community or the homeowners clean the filters for the HRVs and maintain them regularly are all important.
Thanks for talking with me, Dr. Gavessi.
My pleasure.
Great interview, Mick. It's good to know that there are some inexpensive things parents and caregivers can do to look after their kids' breathing health. So back to HRVs. I talked with two gentlemen from the Prince Albert Grand Council in Saskatchewan. Frank Bighead is their Director of Technical Services, and Vince Genereux is a housing advisor. They've been installing and maintaining HRV systems in homes in their communities. Hi, Frank. I understand that you have had many roles in your 40 years working in housing. You're a journeyman carpenter, a power engineer, an inspector, and fire investigator. And you teach people how to maintain HRV systems.
Vince and I were teaching for Canada Mortgage and Housing when they used to have funding to sponsor training for our First Nations. So we used to go, you know, across the province of Saskatchewan doing these presentations on indoor air quality and basic home maintenance and what have you. In fact, some communities in Saskatchewan would not hand over their keys to a new house, to a new occupant, before they had a certificate from us certifying that they've gone through the HRV and all of the components of the house, how the house works, but we couldn't keep up. We work for an organization where we're responsible for 27 communities, and we have 12 bands, and we have, I think, 44,000 people that we serve. So we can't really be going out and training anymore to other communities.
Frank, what are the benefits for people who live in homes with HRV systems?
One of the benefits even is financial, right? When you install an HRV, you're allowed to lower your requirements for insulation in the walls, for instance. But you know, it's not so much the financial; it is the benefits to health that are the greatest of benefits. Having said that, there's no point in putting an HRV in somebody's house if you don't teach them how to maintain it and what it's for. A lot of our housing condition and failures therein are related to a lack of education. It doesn't really do a lot of good for us to know what HRVs are if the occupant doesn't know.
Can I just add something to the last statement?
Yeah.
In days like this, it's bringing in very cold air as fresh air. But in that same box, the HRV, you have air going out of the house, and it's warm air, so they mix within that box. The warm air going out actually warms up that cold air coming in. And before it hits the furnace, it's already warmed up, so it's using less energy to heat up that fresh air that comes into your comes through your registers.
It's good that you don't expect people to understand complicated heating exchange systems. I like the way you're explaining it. I understand that you are looking after 4,600 homes in your First Nation. Do they all have HRVs installed?
No. There's a number of reasons for that. If with the funding levels in our First Nations and the amount of A-base or band-based capital that they get to build houses with being at a minimum, they try and stretch how many units they can build within that any given year. And even if they get social housing through Canada Mortgage and Housing, like mortgaged housing, they still have a budget that they have to stay within. So they try and maximize the number of people that they can serve with any house construction. So then it trickles down to each of the components being not of the highest quality. So, you know, they'll usually go the cheapest way, which is putting in an exhaust fan. And that doesn't do as, you know, as the good job that a HRV does.
So for the people that do have HRVs in their homes, are there any issues or challenges to be aware of?
Vince mentioned the cold air coming in. It's quite common to walk into a laundry room or a furnace room and see a pillow stuck in the fresh air coming in because there's cold air coming in there. And that's from not having the education, not being educated on how the HRV is supposed to operate. Any cold air coming in, of course, an occupant not knowing would plug it up, right? Our inspectors try and teach them at the final inspection. They'll take them to the HRV and open the doors and show them not to be afraid of the HRV. There's only two filters. There's sometimes maximum three filters, but they're easy to wash. They're plastic or rubber material, and you can run them under the sink and let them dry and put them back in. And then the inside of the HRV, you just wipe up with a damp cloth. That's all the maintenance that's required in an HRV.
So it seems like educating the occupants of the home is really the key.
Yes, our inspectors do that at the final inspection. If the homeowner or occupant is available, they do. I know they've requested it from the bands that the occupant have a walkthrough with them at final inspection.
Are there other things you're doing in your communities to improve the air quality in homes?
We're building high-quality homes. We don't always have the most expensive materials in our homes, but we do build well within building code standards. And we at PAGC also have our own standards. We're higher than the National Building Code.
Vince, do you want to add anything?
We notice that whoever takes our whole basic home maintenance course are more apt to do the maintenance work themselves. The ones that don't take it, that's who's calling the band office for emergencies.
Well, that basic home maintenance course is a big one. We worked in conjunction with Canada Mortgage and Housing to develop this basic home maintenance course, and it became a national program. And every Canadian should take the course, not just First Nations, but it's a great course. We travel with kits. We travel with HRVs and explain how each of the components work. We even have sets of taps where the people take them apart and put them back together with all the washers and all the wrenches that you need. And so you learn how to change filters, you learn how to fix taps, you learn how the furnace works, how, you know, the thermocouple can be installed. All of those kind of things we teach the occupants. And again, I'll say that's the key to, if you have an HRV, to keeping it running at peak performance the way it was designed to run.
Man, did I ever learn a lot in the last 10 minutes?
It is a lot to learn, and clearly homeowners have to take the time to learn how to make the most of their HRVs. But it's totally worth it if it means our kids get to breathe clean, fresh air.
Totally, and it's a lifelong thing. If you damage your lungs when you're young, you risk having lung problems for the rest of your life.
I think that's enough for this episode. Our listeners will need time for all this information to sink in.
And if they want to hear it again, they can stream or download all of our episodes of Home on the Res from www.fnnboa.ca.
We are Jennifer Francis
and McFable,
coming to you from the First Nations University of Canada in beautiful Treaty 4 territory in Saskatchewan.
Thank you for listening to Home on the Res.